I think most of us were inspired by the reaction to the bloody rampage at Charleston, South Carolina's historic Emmanuel AME Zion Church. And so I wanted to talk to people who are on the ground in Charleston who can help contextualize the way both immediate family members and the community at large put their faith into action so overtly and so immediately. Joining me now are the Reverend Ed Kosak and Cookie Washington. They led an interfaith vigil at the Unity Church of Charleston last Saturday. Ed, Cookie, thank you so much for being with us today on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Would one of you please start by describing the unique history and current congregation of Unity Church?
Unity Church of Charleston was founded in 9/11/1983 by Reverend Marianne Finch. She is a black divorced woman, came down from Detroit, so she was a northerner as well, and founded the church. And then in 2002, I took over the reins and have been there ever since. Mm-hmm. And the church has always had a bit of a social activistic bent to it, with the outreach to homeless and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And we've continued that with a very strong interfaith kind of action that mm-hmm. Cookie and I do together, that we have been doing for several years now.
Cookie began by talking about the service that you all held last Saturday.
It was so healing and comforting and such a show of support that everyone in our community, our Buddhist brothers and sisters and our Sikh sisters and brothers and our Muslim brothers and sisters, we all came together in love and respect to mourn the lives lost, but to celebrate the fact that we are all one and we all have a heart for each other. Mm-hmm. For me, the most beautiful moment in the service this past Saturday was when my friend Dr. Reshma Khan, who is a Muslim who wears a hijab, stood up and spoke in her sweet, quiet voice. This Muslim sister spoke about the cross of Jesus and what it meant to her, how the cross vertically helps us to remind us to our relationship to God, and the horizontal bar of the cross reminds us of our relationship to our fellow man. Mm. It was so beautiful. And then a Sikh sister, Simran Singh, spoke so eloquently about how we are all family and how we are so much into each other's lives and into each other's community and how we have to embrace each other. It was just so remarkably loving and beautiful. We all spoke what we wanted to say to each other and to the community. I spoke about how much love there is and how much we have to reach for forgiveness, which can be so hard at a time like this, mm-hmm. and how we defeated the shooter's intent. You know, he shot those brothers and sisters in order to try to start a race war, and instead he started a love quake.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious as to why you all felt it was so important to do this right away, right after the shootings.
I know for one thing, there were several of our congregants here at Unity who were needing to be with each other and needing to be comforted, and it needed to happen as soon as possible. And, you know, you bring up a good point, Wilton. Maybe this is something we can do again at some point, because mm-hmm. It's certainly not going to go away overnight. But it was a great need, and we provided an outlet, because I know one of the Dr. Khan, the Muslim woman, called me right away and said, Ed, what can we do? And that's so we got this together.
Have the inter-religious organizations there, have they also been multiracial in each instance, or is that a challenge yet to be achieved?
Absolutely. And the year before the anniversary of 9/11, I guess 2010, Reverend Kosak and I held our first interfaith action, and we had it at a park. It was actually had started out to be our church anniversary, mm-hmm. and so we were going to have just a church picnic for our own congregation, which is very racially diverse. And then that crazy person in Florida said, "I want to burn Quran." Mm-hmm. And we said, "No, we have to let our Muslim brothers and sisters know that we love them, we support them, and we are absolutely against this action." Mm-hmm. So we started with that one, and then September 11th, at the 10-year anniversary, we had about 800 people at an event, and that event looked like the melting pot of America. Mm. And again, we had speakers from, I think it was 13 different right. Faiths, and even a pagan, a secular humanist. Mm-hmm. It was remarkable. The work here is going forward with people of all races and ethnicities, and I would rather say ethnicity.
Sure.
We're all one human race. We're all Homo sapiens.
Mm-hmm. I think our listeners would appreciate if one of you or both of you could tell us about last Sunday's service at Emmanuel Church and the courage and the defiance that were demonstrated by that.
It was remarkable. I have been to that church. I have very dear friends who go to that church. I was a friend of Pastor Pinckney's, and I have never been so proud of a group of people to open their church, not just to their grieving congregation, but to let in still being in a position where they could be fearful, they let in other people to come and worship and grieve with them. But it was a beautiful service with some sadness, but such a celebration of life and of unity and of realizing that we can overcome the hatred that spurred this young man to do this horrible, horrible act.
Yeah, and then Thursday service, I went to that one, which is at another AME church, and I was expecting to leave there sad or mad or something, and I tell you, our AME brothers and sisters, within a span of 15 hours, it hadn't even been a day when this young man did what he did, and they got this absolutely uplifting, wonderful service together that I walked out of there feeling empowered and strengthened and uplifted because of how they were up there. Now, of course, they're sad, and of course they're angry, and it's not like they're in denial about that, but it was like I was inspired, and I knew exactly what I wanted to say for Sunday, this past Sunday, when I had to talk about it in our church.
Uh-huh. Are there lessons from this tragedy that other faith communities can learn regarding cooperation and mutual support?
I think so. I think that the lesson would be to reach out. You know, if you're at the grocery store and you see someone who doesn't look like you, give them a greeting of hello. Don't be afraid to ask questions. You know, I don't know very much, for instance, about Buddhism, but the Geshe-la who spoke with us on Saturday was more than willing, was thrilled to be asked more about his faith, and in turn he asked more about my faith. And mm-hmm. when we have these kind of intimate one-on-one questions, you know, right now we're coming together as a community to support Mother Emmanuel's congregation, mm-hmm. but in the days and weeks and months to come, I think we have to have more intimate kinds of talks mm-hmm. with each other.
This man did this act of hatred because of people's skin color, and while he was talking with them for the hour that he did before he shot them, he had second thoughts about doing it. And the reason he had second thoughts was because he got to know them, and he even said, "You're such nice people." Mm-hmm. And we do interfaith to get to know one another. We do interfaith to get to know each other's customs, scriptures, get to know each other and our differences, and to respect that in each other. And that's the purpose of interfaith. Is my wife's grandfather got up at a racial healing workshop we did, and he said, "Well, the reason y'all don't get along is because y'all don't know each other."
The Reverend Ed Kosak is the pastor of Unity Church of Charleston, South Carolina. Cookie Washington is a passionate interfaith activist and president of the board of directors of Unity Church. Ed, Cookie, thanks to both of you so very much for being with us today on State of Belief Radio and for doing what you do in Charleston every day of the week.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Bless you.
Thank you, Lawson.